Welcome back to another episode of The First Run here from sunny Connecticut, though it was rainy and then sunny and now it's sunny again.
Yes.
Thankfully. This week is our Nick Cage-rific episode. We're going to discuss Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, Cage's new film with Werner Herzog. We're going to talk about what's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD as always. We have our Call It segment, but we're going to lead things off with Kick-Ass.
I always wondered why nobody did it before me. I mean, all those comic books, movies, TV shows. You'd think the one eccentric loner would have made himself a costume. I mean, is everyday life really so exciting? Are schools and offices so thrilling that I'm the only one who ever fantasized about this? Come on, be honest with yourself. At some point in our lives, we all wanted to be a superhero.
That's not me, by the way. That's some Armenian guy with a history of mental health problems.
That's me. How come nobody's ever tried to be a superhero?
Dude, if anybody did it in real life, they'd get their ass kicked. They'd be dead in, like, a day.
Comic books had it wrong. You don't need a power to be a superhero.
Oh, yeah. Didn't see that, did ya?
Okay, so everybody saw Kick-Ass at the table, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, good. I'm glad you did your homework. So the question is it a little too dark? About halfway through the movie, it took a really black turn. I want to say if maybe it kind of switched gears on you for you guys. What do you guys think?
Espo?
Yeah, I kind of went into it thinking it was going to be a kid fights back against the bullies type of movie that teenagers would like. But really, I don't think it's a kid's movie or even really a teenager's movie. It's definitely an adult movie.
Yeah.
The dark turn, as you said, that I did not see that coming at all from the previews.
Right.
But I liked that it took that dark turn.
Yeah.
It made it a different film than I've seen 100 times.
Yeah. It's definitely not the movie I was expecting to see.
No.
And I'm not familiar with the comic book. I am semi-familiar with Mark Millar.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Wanted, which was really bad, but I did actually pick up and read a few issues of the comic book for Wanted, and it was pretty dark too, so I don't know, I think maybe this is his kind of forte, but I mean, the first, maybe third half of the movie was all kind of like, you know, funny, satirical kind of thing, and then it was just kind of like, all of a sudden, it was really kind of bleak.
What was the turning point for you?
I think it's when Big Daddy's ex-partner comes to visit him.
Yeah.
And you kind of get the whole sense of...
A little bit of backstory
there. Yeah, a little bit of backstory and kind of what the whole point where the plot of the movie is going.
I got to admit, at that point of the film, I then kind of veered into I would love to have seen a Big Daddy Hit Girl film.
Yeah.
Almost totally independent of the Kick-Ass character.
Right.
I think I loved Nick Cage in this movie. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
And I had no real issues with. I mean, it's getting a bit of a controversy brewing about the film, like you said, because it is ultra violent, and a lot of the violence is focused around a 12-year-old girl.
Right.
So a lot of people are having issues with that, but I think it handles everything really well. I mean, it's violent, but it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the great things. I think is Matthew Vaughn. He really walks the tightrope in this film. Between just the comedy of it and then the brutal violence of
the
film.
Right.
But I think and then the tonal shifts in this movie,
yeah.
He handles, I think, beautifully. I at no point did I not think that any of the scenes were earned. I didn't think that it didn't work.
Yeah.
From start to finish, I loved it. I was in for the ride, and I think a lot of the credit goes to Matthew Vaughn being able to kind of, as I said, walk that tightrope with that film, and I bought into it.
Yeah. And I think I appreciated the whole fact of a lot of these movies, a lot of our action movies kind of gloss over, you know,
the true repercussions.
Yeah. Really what you're seeing. And, you know, Batman, you know, he goes out and he's breaking bones and, you know, crippling people or, you know, Neo, like flipping around in the Matrix is really killing people. But I mean, all that's kind of glossed over where this is kind of like, it's like, I don't want to say glorified, but it's right there in your face. And I know, but I will say that at no point did I say like, ooh, like I had, like I couldn't.
You weren't drawn back.
Yeah,
or
it didn't like offend me or anything like that. I mean, I was like, wow, that was pretty graphic, but I was like, it was actually kind of fun to watch.
I think, yeah, the way I really figured it, I described it, it's morally suspect, this film, but it's fun as hell.
Yeah, it is. It is very fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
And the girl who plays Hit Girl, Chloe Moritz, I'm not sure if that's how you say her last name. She is fantastic in this movie. Good.
She's going to get a lot of work out of this role.
Hopefully.
I think everybody has got to love her. Mm-hmm. You know, just where the turn actually started for me was when, from the previews, I thought she's just, you know, it's going to be like a cutesy. She hits them, you know, because she's Hit Girl, whatever.
Right.
This is spoiler alert. Turn away. She kills a guy, like, the first time you see her, like, that she appears in costume.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm not going to say the line because we're PG-13.
That's the line that's in the Red Band trailer when she challenges the group of bad guys, what she calls them. Is that the one you're referring to? How great is that?
I never laugh out loud at movies. Yeah. I laughed out loud in a theater full of people.
I think it was a good idea on their part to release that Red Band trailer because you do know what you're getting to in a point. What was funny about it, Kick-Ass was more of a foil. It was just kind of a sounding board for everything to kind of go off of. I mean, he gets into one fight in the whole movie. I mean, and that's basically it until from the beginning to the end. So I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very faithful comic adaption, but I'll be curious to see if like word of mouth, if this thing has a slow burn buzz or if it's going to be regulated to a, you know, cult classic kind of thing, which I think it's destined to be.
That's one of the notes I wrote down too. I think it's destined for cult classic status. I don't know if it'll be a huge hit, but I think it'll gain a lot more respect over the years, and this will be one of those movies, that's going to develop quite a following.
Right. There'll be midnight showings of this movie.
I mean, cause it is. It's like we said, it's very violent, it's very funny, but it's also very smart.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on in this movie that I really enjoyed. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I was real impressed, too, with the kid who plays Kick-Ass, Aaron Johnson. I'm not familiar with him at all, but he was good.
Mm-hmm. I thought so, too.
And even, you know, somebody I've always been kind of suspect of, McLovin.
Yeah, Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
I actually thought after seeing his movie, I think the kid's got a future now. I actually could see him maybe doing other things now.
Right,
so,
yeah.
When before I thought he was going to be kind of pigeonholed into McLovin.
Right.
But I think maybe he could actually break out of that now because he was really good in this too. But really, I think the big things in this movie were Chloe, the Hit Girl, and then Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Nick Cage really, I hesitate to use the term comeback film. And we'll talk a little bit more about him, I think, when we talk about Port of Call New Orleans. But I think, this is the kind of vehicle he needs where his kind of crazy kind of comes right through.
But it's not his, like, annoying Nick Cage crazy. I want to caveat that.
That's
true. It's kind of a low-key, this guy's off his rocker, but it's not like the screaming, you know, face-off Nick Cage kind
of
thing.
No, he's definitely got a little, I think, too, one of the things I appreciated. He's got a little Adam West in him in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Very much so.
I think it was a very enjoyable movie. And I think they could get away with this because it was basically an independent film.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it turns out that the director couldn't get studio backing, so he got some help, I think, from Brad Pitt to kind of raise the money. And he kind of made it on his own terms.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think it's we'll see how it goes with the inevitable sequel. I know Mark Millar is writing another one.
Is he?
Yeah, another set of Kick-Ass comics. So
I'm concerned with the film that the violence in it is going to kind of keep down the turnout into the film.
You think so?
I'm concerned. I hope not.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if that's going to kind of temper the reaction to people.
I don't think it'll be, it's not going to be a runaway success. It's not going to be a huge success, but it's gotten good critical review for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make a good amount of money. It'll make its money back and more. I would say, I don't know if it'll break 100 million, but probably, I would say 80, 90 million direct domestically, maybe, which would be respectable. I think it's going to be like a Fight Club. It's going to be like this generation's Fight Club kind of thing.
No, like you said, Matt, it was like it cost him $30 million to make it, and it's probably going to come in around 20 for the weekend.
Right.
And then just looking it up now with the foreign grosses, which is about 17.5, looks like it's in the clear already.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it'll go 80, 90.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we'll get a sequel. And if they can stay kind of true with the same formula with a sequel, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I really am.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be the best comic book movie of the summer?
Whoa, that I don't know about.
No?
I'm all giddy about that Iron Man trailer.
Yeah, Iron Man's, but I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, a lot of the Marvel movies and the big comic book movies are usually better the second time around, so I don't know. But Whiplash, I'm not so sure about that.
I think, I'm sorry, Ash, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to agree that it's weird because that's not the same for most other movies. The sequel's usually not as good, but yeah, with the Marvel movies,
yeah,
it seems to...
Yeah, you're right. Superhero films tend to be... In fact, if you look at our poll question that's up right now, what's the best superhero film?
Yeah.
Almost all of them are sequels.
Right. Well, the second one in the go-around.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not exposition. It's not like building. You don't have to tell the origin story, which everybody already pretty much knows anyway.
All right. So, I guess that's it. So, what are we telling people? What's your recommendation?
I'm saying go see it, but don't bring little kids.
That's a fair assessment. I would say definitely go see it. It's a great movie. I think if you can handle kind of the violence of it, and if you can kind of see it for what it is, I think you'll really enjoy it.
I agree. Yeah, definitely run out to the theater and see this. But as Espo said, caveat it, this is not a movie for kids at all. But it's a hell of a lot of fun.
It is.
It's probably the most fun I've had at the theater all year to this point, when I think about it.
I think it's probably the best movie I've seen so far this year.
Yeah.
Or the one I enjoyed the most, I should say.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll take a quick break, come back, and then we're going to discuss what's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday.
Critics called The Descent the most terrifying monster movie since Alien.
Welcome back to the first run. This is Matt. With me, as always, are the Crises. So, Crises number one. We've got DVD and Blu-ray picks for April 27th. What do we got?
Sure, yes, sir. Yeah, first off is The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
This is different than The Wonder Emporium, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. This is Terry Gilliam.
Yes.
This is his film and the last screen appearance of Heath Ledger.
Right.
Quite a limited release. It's supposed to be just, of course, like every Terry Gilliam film, visually stunning, with maybe kind of a shallow plot story of his career.
Right.
So it comes to the audio commentary by Gilliam, some featurettes, and some deleted scenes. Gentlemen, I assume neither of you got a chance to see it?
I did not.
No.
Neither did I. Any interest in seeing it? Do we have any Gilliam fans here in the house?
I mean, I can kind of take them or leave them. Like, I like 12 Monkeys. I liked Brazil. Wasn't a huge Time Bandits fan, though. So, I don't know.
Espo?
Yeah, obviously Monty Python. Gotta love everybody in that, but 12 Monkeys is one of my favorite movies. Yeah,
it's probably one of his most mainstream films. Yeah, 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, well, it's the one that has a plot that makes the most sense.
Yes.
So
yes,
that helps.
And I will preface, this is going to be a short week. And as I was looking out too over the next few weeks for Blu-ray DVD releases, it's looking thin for a little while here.
Yeah.
Next up is It's Complicated.
Ooh,
Alec Baldwin, Meryl Streep, Steve Martin, Matthew, I believe you had a chance to see this.
I did not.
You did.
My wife saw it. Yes.
And what did the lovely Mrs. Howell say?
She liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a girl, so yes.
Everything I heard is that Steve Martin is not very good in this, but Alec Baldwin is hilarious and makes the whole film.
All right,
which is everything I'd heard. Espo, I'm assuming you saw it. This is right in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
No, I did not see this one.
Maybe. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're letting our fans down.
Next movie I'm kind of excited to see. Unfortunately, it just went straight to DVD here, though it's not the DVD pick of the week.
About to say.
Oh, I got a treat for you for that one.
I'm excited.
But no, Descent 2.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, the Descent 2.
It's a direct
sequel. Yep, and it's a direct sequel. It's, in fact, the character who survived leads a bunch of people back into the caves to try and find
them. Wait, she didn't get out.
She didn't get out. In the
in the U.S. version, she did. Wait to spoil it for people who haven't seen it.
Right.
The original, yes, the original English version of The Descent she thinks she gets out.
Is it an English film or is it? I thought it was an Australian film.
No, it's English.
Oh, okay.
But it turns out she doesn't. But right. In the U.S. version, they changed the ending to give it a happy ending that she actually made it out.
Right.
Well, in the second, in the sequel, maybe that's a twist ending of part two, is that she didn't actually get out. That wouldn't make any sense. So Descent 2 comes out with commentary and then a bunch of deleted scenes. I'm very excited to see this. And yeah. I move that up to number
same,
one of my
same,
two.
Same actress?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but
her.
So yeah, no, Neil Marshall, the director, he's not back for Descent 2, but he's got a new movie coming out, Centurion, and I guess there's a bit of a dispute right now if it's going to hit the States or not. It's Fassbender stars in it,
yeah,
and I'm a big fan of Michael Fassbender from last week's Hunger and Glorious Bastards. He's a star of it. But no, yeah, I'm a fan of Marshall's work. You know, Dog Soldiers is the first movie I saw him with the English troops doing the maneuvers. They ended up running into that pack of werewolves. He did The Descent, which I loved. Doomsday, which I kind of liked a lot.
That's actually, that was...
Rona Mitra.
I think that was a little maligned, a little excessively. It was, yes. It was fun.
Yeah, Doomsday is a fun movie. It's not, and except for like the last 20 minutes, half hour, isn't as good as the beginning two-thirds.
Yeah.
But it's still fun. I'm a Neil Marshall guy. But either way, I'm still excited to see The Descent too. I'm hoping it's going to be at least half as good as The Descent, which I thought was scary as all hell when I first saw it.
The scariest part was them going through those friggin' caves, man. Those little claustrophobic scenes. Like, oh man, that was made me cringe.
Yeah. If any of our listeners haven't seen it, at least go out and rent The Descent.
Yeah.
I don't think Descent 2 is going to be as good, but no. The Descent, the first one, that is a freaky movie.
Yeah.
Next up, a movie that was in the theaters, and thank God it tanked, Transylmania.
I forgot about that.
Was up for like a week or so. It's actually, I found out by doing my research, that's actually supposedly, I guess, National Lampoon's Dorm Days number 3.
Oh, really?
And I guess they cashed in on the vampire craze and put it out in the theater.
Right, okay.
One thing I'm excited about, too, no Blu-ray release for this movie. So
awesome.
That's how much faith they have in it.
Nice. Well, with good reason, I think.
Yes. So I'm glad when these horrible, horrible comedies don't do well in the theaters. Your date movies, your Meet the Spartans, even though I believe it's a separate group of people,
yeah,
they should still be equally punished.
They all should be.
And then finally, our straight-to-DVD of the week.
Let's hear it.
Oh, this is good. I'm going to have to rent this. It's called Mega Piranha.
I saw that.
You've seen it?
No, it was on the soup this week.
I've seen the trailer for it.
A mutant strain of giant piranha escape from South America and eat their way toward the Florida coast stars Tiffany.
Yes.
Yes, that Tiffany.
Yes.
And Barry Williams, Greg, from the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
What I'm going to do, too, the poster is a giant piranha biting through like an ocean liner. So I'm going to post that to the website because you have to see it. The cover for the DVD. It looks fantastic. It'll be on Sci-Fi, I'm sure, in a week if it hasn't already been. But Mega Piranha looks awesome. And we all know what a fan I am of Shark Attack 3 Megalodon.
Well, there you go.
So I'm very excited for Mega Piranha. That's your straight-to-DVD release of the week.
That's a good one.
So, yeah. We're going to take another quick break. Come back. And we're going to dive into the world of post-Katrina New Orleans.
Yes.
And see exactly how crazy Nick Cage can get.
You got any illegal substances on you?
Oh, big mistake.
Who are you?
I'm Dave, the guy you robbed. To make it right, you got to come up with $50,000. Don't make me look for you, Terrence.
You mind stepping outside? I'd like to talk to you. I'm going to give you a chance to make some money the old-fashioned way. With a cop protecting you.
You a crazy mother. I took you to a place.
It's amazing how much you can get done when you've got a simple purpose guiding you through life.
On my own.
Stand against the wall.
Can empty your pockets, dump out the handbag.
You want a hit?
Yes.
Where the sun always shines.
What are these iguanas doing on my coffee table?
They ain't no iguana.
Yeah,
there are. Ain't no iguana.
Where's the 15,000?
Put that gun away.
Kill all of you.
To the break of dawn, baby.
You know the people are friendly there.
Do you think these guys care you're a cop?
Shoot him again.
What?
Fool.
His soul's still dancing.
Back at home.
All right, so we're back. It's Matt. with Chris and Chris. We're going to talk about a name that's almost as long as Push, based on the novel by Sapphire, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. So, is this maybe one of the best bad movies ever?
Ooh, interesting.
That's a really interesting way to put it. And yeah. When you say it that way, I kind of agree. I really didn't have high hopes for it, mostly based on the title.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but I was really surprised at how many people turn up in this movie.
Mm. You mean like Val Kilmer and...
Yeah, Val Kilmer.
Exhibit.
Yeah, I knew it was one somebody.
Yeah.
And like Ava Mendez and Jennifer Coolidge, I think.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's Werner Herzog. I think is why they're there. Herzog is one of those directors that people want to work with.
Right.
There's a guy who's almost died making certain movies because he has a vision and he's going to do it whatever it takes to get his vision completed. He's going to do it.
Right.
And that's why I have the utmost respect for Herzog, and I'll see almost anything he does at this point. I don't know how I feel about this movie. I don't think it's bad. It's
definitely not good.
Now, I think I'm the only one of the group who's seen the original
yes.
Bad.
I hesitate
to use the term original. Yeah. Because it's not a sequel. It's not a remake.
It shares the same title, really.
Essentially, that's it. The original film by Abel Ferreira, starring Harvey Keitel. Gentlemen, if you get a chance to see it, but it'll also be one of the darkest, most depressing things you've ever seen in your life. It's a one-timer, I think. It's one of those movies you see once and you don't want to see again. Keitel plays a crooked cop in New York. He's deep in debt because he's betting on ball games.
Right.
And he has to investigate a case of these gentlemen who rape a nun in a church.
All right.
And as he slides farther and farther into physical and moral decay, the nun decides to forgive the youths who rape her, and that just puts him in a tailspin. And then he starts trying to figure out, and it eventually leads him to some form of redemption. But it's a tough sit, but it's a fantastic film. I think it's Ferreira's best film. It's probably Keitel's best performance. He is so raw and naked, literally, in this movie. It's famous for because it's got a full frontal Keitel shot. It's like famous for that.
Isn't there other movies with full frontal Harvey Keitel?
Yeah, I think the piano. Polanski film. But this is
likes being naked.
It just balls out. I got to stop using phrases like that. Filmmaking, though, it truly is. And I think in a weird way, I think maybe the Herzog. I think this is a bit of an
homage
and a satire, perhaps all at the same time. It's
well, I will say, I mean this.
He casts a perfect actor to play it, I think, for damn sure.
He's got, I mean, this definitely has an air of the ridiculous going through it the entire time. This is going to be, I'm going to go ahead and say this. You're going to like this movie. You know, Werner Herzog aside, I mean, because it's shot really, you know, it's pretty to look at. I mean, it's you know, I can respect his craft in the direction of it, but Nick Cage makes or breaks this movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you either love it because of his unhinged, crazy Nick Cage performance, which we were just talking about was not his performance in the last one where he's really over the top and he's yelling a lot of lines. You know, he's got that patented Nick Cage scene where he just goes crazy and starts yelling.
Well,
and
he
you know.
Seems to, yeah, and in his character too, he seems to, as the film progresses, he essentially... What happens to Cage is that he hurts himself he's rescuing somebody, right?
No, yes,
so he gets
yes.
addicted to the pills, right. Which is then his addiction then grows from there into other harder substances. But as the film progresses, his physical characteristics change.
Right.
He develops more of a hunch. He turns over more. His accent, his vocal speech patterns change, get different and stranger as the film progresses. You're right. He's totally over the top in this film. But I think it serves the film well. I still can't tell. I still don't know if I liked it. I know I don't. I think I did.
I think
it is just so. It's just strange and bizarre.
It is. It's very strange.
I haven't seen anything like this in a long time.
Yeah. But I mean, I think I definitely felt that this could have warranted a second viewing on my part. There are some things that are in the film, some scenes that are, they're just kind of odd for oddness sake. Like, it seemed
like the,
like, should have again, his soul is still dancing,
huh?
Or, which I think is a great line. I love, but the alligator cam and the iguana cam.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing too about Herzog. A lot of his films tend to focus on like man versus nature and how given a chance that nature will kill you every time it can. But also too, what I watched from the special features afterwards, that alligator, there's a real dead alligator. That wasn't like a prop or anything.
Right.
And they actually showed them cutting into the alligator and pulling out the intestines for that scene on the highway. So the alligator was already dead, I'd like to say. Yeah. And they actually talked to the wrangler and they said, it was a pest alligator. It was going nuisance. Up. And, it was a nuisance and it was eating pets and stuff. They had to put it down.
Hmm. Be that as it may, maybe it's just me being cynical. Those kind of scenes like that are hard for me to digest just because they all smack of like art school 101 type stuff for me. I mean, they do. I mean, I understand. Okay. You're fine. You're trying to make a statement, but to 99% of the world, they're not going to be in the same frame of mind. So it just comes off as meaningless pretentiousness.
Like pretentious.
Literally, they're on the iguana cam for like 2.5 minutes, like sitting there looking at, and I'm like, I mean, all the actors are looking out the window
I think we could have maybe just established the iguanas, and then one time he hits it.
Yeah.
But I think maybe you're right. He could have cut it a little.
Soon. I mean, once you got to the point where he's like, hey, what are these iguanas here? And they're like, there is no iguanas. And it's like, oh, well, he's a friggin' lunatic. But then it goes to, it's that kind of thing.
But I love, too, that's one of the things I love about Cage's performance, too, is when he questions the elderly women.
Yeah.
I love how just nuts he gets about that. In a lot of ways, that's the closest it came to Keitel's version of it, is the way he aggressively questions the senior citizens. Mm. And then, too, I like how he always kept the gun in his waistband and not in the holster.
Right.
Kind of, because he's a bit of an unhinged cowboy, if you will.
He is, yes.
I'm sorry, Matt.
Go ahead.
We haven't really heard from you in this. What do you think?
I really didn't like it. but I didn't go into it with high hopes either. Maybe I sort of didn't like it before I even started watching it. There was things that I thought Nick Cage did a good job at playing the character as he's probably supposed to be, which was just weird and out there and tough to follow. But the whole movie for me was tough to follow too. You want to believe that he's a good guy, and then he goes and does something that, wow, he's really not. And then, but then you start to think, well, you know what? He is. Maybe he just got caught up in that for a minute. I'll forgive him.
Well, there's an interesting thing you mentioned there, because there's a few times throughout the movie, especially in the last act, where you start to wonder, was a lot of this stuff him kind of setting all of these people up? Because things kind of start to fall into place at one point.
Right.
Or did he just luck? Did he just luck into some of that?
Yeah.
Or is he crazy / smart enough to kind of orchestrate a lot of that stuff from the get-go?
Yeah, I think with the big turn, with the big reveal at the end of it, mm-hmm. and I think what's interesting about this movie is that, and I haven't seen the original, or I guess the Harvey Keitel film, but there is no redemption in this. It basically gets away with everything, and he just keeps doing what he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know...
But you think there's going to be a redemption coming.
You think you can see it coming, like... And I did like that about the movie. It's like, okay, it's all paced out, it's all plotted, or it's all crumbling him around him, and he's, like, you know, trying to, you know, keep everything together, and he's, you know... He's losing it, and you know his mannerisms are changing, and he's getting more and more unhinged. Mm-hmm. And then it just comes to the point where everything is just like whoop! It all gets picked up off the floor, and it's all back in its little package, and everything's fine again. And I thought at first, I thought he was hallucinating again when I first saw that,
right?
And that was not the case. So I don't know. I think this movie, I think this, there's no plot really per se with this movie. It's really just
it's a character study. It's a character,
So that's basically
a broken man, really.
I think for everybody listening to this, I think it's worth a watch, but it's gonna, Nick Cage's performance is gonna, you know, make or break it.
It's polarizing.
If you can't stand crazy Nick Cage, then you're gonna have a problem with it. But I mean, again, you may enjoy it. So I don't know. What did you guys think?
I think it's worth a watch, but don't go out of your way to find it. If it's on TV, if it's on, you know, Showtime or something, check it out. I don't think you're gonna love it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I think it's definitely worth checking out. But like you said, it's certainly Yeah, I don't know. it's an experience. And I'm glad to see, one of the things I was happy to see was Brad Dourif was in this movie.
Yeah.
Who I love. I always like when he pops up in the movies. He always brings something, you know, I don't know if anybody can out crazy Nick Cage.
Yeah.
With those beady eyes when he does that little, you know, that's Brad Dourif. But, I'd say at least, yeah, I'd say rent it. I think it's worth a rental. You may feel free to email the show afterwards and tell me how crazy I am and how you should never listen to me again, which I think you might do. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting. That's all I can say.
Well, it's definitely interesting. It's interesting. You can say that unequivocally.
Yes.
That's very true.
All right.
I think you got our opinions. So We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Call It. Yay. All right. So we'll be right back.
It's a miracle.
And you wanted us to stay at Andy's.
Because we're Andy's toys.
So you got donated by this Andy, huh? Well, it's his law, Sheriff. He can't hurt you no more.
Whoa.
Now let's get you all settled in. Ken? Where is that boy? Ken? New toys!
Far out. Down in a jiff, Lotso.
So, who's ready for Ken's dream tour?
Let's show our new friends where they'll be staying.
Folks, if you want to step right this way. Hi, I'm Ken.
Barbie, have we ever met?
Uh-uh. I would have remembered. Love your leg warmers.
Nice ascot.
Come on, Ken. Recess don't last forever.
Right on, Lotso. This way, everybody.
You got a lot to look forward to, folks. The little ones love new toys.
What a nice bear.
And he smells like strawberries.
Oh. Folks, if I can share, here at Sunnyside, we've got, well, just about anything a toy could ask for.
Think you're getting old? Well, stop your worrying.
Our repair spa will keep you stuffed, puffed, and lightly buffed. And this, well, this is where I live. It's Ken's dream house. It has a disco, it's got a dune buggy, and a whole room just for trying on clothes.
You have everything!
Everything except someone to share it with.
Now's that time, that special time in the show.
Take your hand off my lap.
Where we play a little game called Call It. So, which of you lovely gentlemen wants to start off?
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to direct this right back at you, Espo.
All right.
Call It. Nightmare on Elm Street. Jackie Earl Haley's Freddy will be better than Robert Englund. Which, what do you think?
Define better.
Scarier. His just when you walk out of it, you're gonna go, that is the definitive Freddy Krueger. Or are you gonna say, or do you think, no, it's still gonna belong to England?
I think it's gonna be tough because that role is Robert Englund. It's just, I mean, all the movies that they made, and I grew up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have a hard time getting used to somebody else doing it, but I bet it's gonna be really well done. He's gonna be scarier. And you know they have to make it scarier than the original. Not even just him, but the whole movie.
Well, the first one was actually scary, right?
Yeah.
I've seen all of them, but not for a long time. I remember correctly, the first one was scary.
Yeah.
And then it got kind of, he turned into a jokester.
Yeah.
You know, killing people and essentially the James Bond of monsters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the first one definitely was freaky. That's the only one I own, and I still do watch it.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was definitely... It was a good idea. It was well executed. You know, everybody's got to sleep. I'm not really going to sleepaway camp.
But don't they give you drugs that can actually make you sleep without dreaming? Isn't there a drug that can do that?
Well, they actually do bring that up in the original film. They said that if you don't, which is true from what I understand, that if you don't have REM sleep, if you don't dream, then you start to go crazy. So,
so what do you think, though, Matt? What's your opinion? Do you think too soon?
As
to
far well, as far as the first between the first and the first. It's going to be pretty, I think it's going to be a lot more grim. I think it's going to be very, violent. I think it's going to be pretty extreme compared to the old one, but I don't know if there's going to be as many surprises.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Jackie Earle Haley will be a better Freddy Krueger. I think he's just a better actor.
Yeah.
I think Jackie will bring something more to the role that, unfortunately, I don't think England really could.
Right.
And hopefully if they veer away from the camp funny aspect of it, I don't know if it'll be scarier. I'm assuming it will be. It'll be more violent. That's damn sure.
It'll probably be way more brutal. It'll actually probably be but tough then if you think
about
it, places.
But you think about because Bay and his people were also responsible for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. And I'm sorry, that first Tobe Hooper massacre film is one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen. And the other ones did not measure up to that. Maybe it's the low budget documentary feel of the first one.
Right. Well, the first one almost seems real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I think I'm confident. I like ever since Jackie came back and his in Little Children when he played the pedophile and then his Rorschach. And then I got to admit, too, a show that I kind of enjoy, though I think it's going to get canceled, he's pretty good in, is Human Target.
Oh, okay.
He's in that. He's actually pretty good in that. So, I don't know. I think I'm confident. I think he'll be a better Freddy. But granted, maybe it's too soon. We have hell. Of course it's too soon. I haven't even seen the damn movie yet.
Well, soon enough, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Next.
My turn? Okay. Scalzo.
Mm-hmm.
Call it. 3D movies. Fad or here to stay?
I think it's a fad. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's because they're developing the television technology now. I guess you can get a 3D television now, but you're going to pay like $5,000, if not more, for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It depends. If they do what they did with the Titans, which I had the pleasure, if you want to call it that, of seeing yesterday, not a fan.
No.
No.
Of the film or the 3D?
Of the film. I didn't see the 3D. Okay. I took my parents to go see it because my mom was anxious to see it. She liked the original. But from what I understand, what we've read is that they did the 3D effect just an afterthought.
Yeah.
They're all post-production, and everything I've read is that it just doesn't work.
Right.
Well, it's the film as a whole.
3D attached to the movie.
Because it's the fad, and they can charge more. The film as a whole doesn't work.
Right.
It's my buddy Sam Worthington doing his Sam Worthington thing, which I don't like. And the story's dull. The acting's ridiculous. The whole film itself's not good, but that's not what you asked me. 3D. Is it around to stay? Yeah, I think most of your kid movies now are going to be in 3D for the most part.
Yeah.
And maybe once in a while we'll get a gimmicky film. I think we're not going to shift to a point where, for a long time, where a majority of the movies you see are 3D. No.
Yeah.
Maybe just focused on your action films and maybe your popcornier ones.
Yeah.
Which is a word I just made up. But no, I'm going to go with, I'm straddling the line. Because I'm thinking most of your big kid animated films will be 3D at this point, but your mainstream films, I think it's more of a fad. And it really depends on the quality.
Yeah, you think so? So we're not going to see Bad Lieutenant Port of New Jersey anytime soon?
In 3D?
Yeah.
I got to admit, I might actually like to have seen that movie in 3D.
Yeah.
There's some interesting scenes in there that maybe I'd like to have seen that way. But no, I don't think so.
All right. That's well.
I think it's a fad as far as adult movies.
Yeah.
I think it's here to stay for kid movies.
Think so?
Yeah.
So you're with me then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Great point, Espo. I'm glad we agree. It's nice when we agree.
Here's the thing that makes me nervous. I think it's based off of I want it to be a fad, but I think it is going to be here for to stay because all those kids, they're all going to grow up. I mean, and they've been watching movies in 3D.
But we watched movies in 3D when we were a kid, and they didn't
but the technology wasn't the same. I mean, you had
I'm not getting a headache from I used to wearing those red and
I mean, I think I can remember watching... What?
I think the ultimate 3D film.
The Mummy on TV.
I think the ultimate 3D film for our generation is Friday the 13th Part 3.
I was going to say Captain EO, but
I never saw Captain. Plus, I don't know. It's not really. It was only, three. 14 minutes long?
Well, yeah. But three. That's what I'm talking about.
I think Friday the 13th Part 3 is our generation's biggest 3D film.
Yeah.
And which says a lot.
The harpoon gun scene alone. Come on.
Right. But this generation has something like Avatar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of these kids, and like you said, they're making the Blu-ray, or the Blu-ray, the
televisions.
The televisions and the players. I'm nervous, man. I, to be quite honest with you, since this new spat of 3D, I guess once it first started coming out with like 300 and stuff, I haven't seen a single movie in 3D. I've been
really,
3D, I didn't see Avatar in 3D. I didn't see any of it in 3D.
I think it'll never get huge, huge, huge until we can do it without the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the big linchpin. That'll be the turning point.
Yeah.
And once you're able to do that, then everything will be 3D at that point. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's that technologically possible,
you'd probably have to have some kind of projector in there.
Yeah, but I think, I just mean even in the theaters. Because they still do they're polarized now. They're not the red and blue glasses.
Right.
Still, I think once you can get past the glasses, I think global, if not nationwide, acceptance will occur.
Yes.
And the players and televisions get cheaper.
It's true. You know what's really going to push for that? The porn industry is going to revolutionize that. You just watch.
They're the ones that they did the DVD thing. That was all because of the porn industry.
Yeah.
Why DVD caught on.
It's very true. And then just wait until you have 3D porn. It's going to be over.
You're going to have to get a third and fourth job.
Remember how cool it was to change the angles on...
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You just... You have to maybe do a little thing. Maybe do your own little podcast. Or you should do that. You can record adult. You can review adult films for your outtakes.
Somebody
segments.
In this room was the first one to have a DVD player of my friends.
Rebecca, Matt's wife is not. Don't talk about her.
And
she's not in the room right now.
And the first time they showed me the change camera angle feature, it was with an adult.
It was a revelation.
Yeah. It's like, how'd you do that?
Chris heard angels in the background.
It's like two movies in one.
Oh, I'm glad we were able to keep that relatively clean.
Yeah, that was actually pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Good job, us.
All right, Espa, you got one for us? And if you don't, we'll just cut that out.
Yeah. All right, well, this sort of goes along with what we were talking about before with the comic book movies, the superhero movies, and that's, you know, the sequels being better. How many do they really make? Like, you know, there's 20 Jason movies and whatever. But for superhero movies, it seems like they only make, you know, 4 at the most.
And then reboot.
And then they reboot. Yeah, they wait 10 years and then they reboot. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, Iron Man, number 2 is coming out. How far out do you think they're going to go before they actually, probably Robert Downey Jr. eventually is going to say, you know what, I'm done.
I think we should look at these as Spider-Man mop. No. I think it's because that's what they're doing with Spider-Man. They had 3 hugely successful films.
Right.
This new one was going to cost upwards of, what, $200-400 million to make, the 4th one, Raimi's. Yeah. So they said to hell with it. So they jettisoned everything and they're starting over. I think there's also a generational thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to a point where the actors are either too old or they're not buying anymore. So what's easier and cheaper to do? Reboot.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to continue on as going.
Well, and there's the Spider-Man franchise doing that. Superman franchise Superman's doing gonna that.
Reboot all
from, X-Men's from rebooting get-go. Again.
Yeah. X-Men's rebooting again.
Yeah.
Is it considered a reboot, the X-Men thing? I thought they're just going to focus on the X-Men.
The first students.
But it's going to be the Cyclops.
True.
Well, you know they're going to shoehorn Wolverine in there somehow, though.
Yeah, you think so?
They have to. He's the most popular character.
Yeah. I don't know.
Figure out a way to do it. It probably won't be Hugh Jackman. That's
right. What's weird about comic book movies, and I think this is what the fatal flaw of them are, you only have so many iconic characters before you start getting the second tier characters. Mm-hmm. And I think part of why...
Your Green Lanterns?
Yeah, like your Green Lanterns or your Iron Mans or stuff like that. I think part of why Iron Man worked so well was because not really many people knew anything about him.
I think my theory about Iron Man is Robert Downey Jr. I think the reason why that movie was so successful, because it wasn't that good.
No.
I think it was barely competently directed by Favreau.
Yeah.
I think Robert Downey Jr. makes that film, and if you insert Ben Affleck into that movie, or pick a name,
right.
It's not going to work.
Right.
It's Downey's charm and charisma that carries that entire film.
Do you think they've ruined some of those franchises that haven't worked? Like, do you think they've ruined Daredevil? Like, people are still going to have a bad taste, or have they ruined the whole?
Well, careful, you're treading on Doug ground here with our co-host Espa.
I liked Daredevil, but yeah. I mean,
did you?
Yeah, I did.
It was
but
a piece of crap. Yeah, it wasn't good.
While I can say that I liked it, I really can't argue with what Christian was. I didn't even think that it was so much Ben Affleck's fault as it just was the movies. Stunk.
I think the films are radioactive for a while, but if you let them sit long enough. Look at the Punisher, Dolph Lundgren film. Granted, the Thomas Jane film wasn't that good.
And then the follow-up wasn't that good either.
No,
the reboot.
That was even horrible. I like Thomas Jane, so I'll watch
or,
the Punisher.
Or, you know, the two versions of the Hulk, you know, Ang Lee's not so good.
I like what Ang Lee did with that movie. No. I think as an experiment, that film was successful. As a superhero fun action film, no. But that's not what that movie is.
That's what it should have been.
It is, but it's not what it was.
Supposed to be.
That was a character study of a guy fighting with his inner demons, and he made it like a living visual comic book, which I got a kick out of. But anyway, while we're off
like
point.
Like Swamp Thing did that too.
Dude,
and did it better.
Here. Yeah.
Cheaper. And with no-name actors.
Dick Durock. Adrian Barbeau. Anyway.
And Robert Jordan. Is that his name?
I don't know.
Louis Jordan.
I don't know. What kind of geek do you think I am?
Louis Jordan.
But yeah, no, I think it, like the secondary characters, you can screw them up, and just, if you wait long enough, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think I'm going to be interested to see because that you know,
there's nobody I'd rather have a drink with in Hollywood more that I couldn't have a drink with.
All right, well, that's fair enough. I think there's probably other like, well, you know, ladies maybe a little higher.
Well, no, but I'm not, that's different. I'd like to take them out on a date. If I'm just going to hang out with the guys. It would be Junior. It would be Clooney.
Yeah.
Maybe
both at the same time.
Could you imagine going out to the club, like doing swinger style? You're all in the booth
with Vince Vaughn thrown in the back.
How awesome would that? I would then have to take my life after that. Wouldn't be any better. Alyssa Milano there looking at me, giving me a little familiar look. Yes.
back on point here. I don't think I'm nervous about generally these second tier characters because they don't have, I mean, like your Hulks, your Punishers, your Daredevils.
If you do it right, you're fine. You do it good with Iron Man. I have high hopes for Green Lantern because of Ryan Reynolds, another charismatic guy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you've got, you know, Green Lantern, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how that works out. You know, I'm going to be very interested to see how Captain America works out and Thor. Like, I'm really frightened how Thor
Kenneth
is going to work out.
Though. I mean, I got to have a little faith
I don't know.
Is Thor, there a Thor movie or an Avengers movie?
No, the Avengers.
There's an Avengers movie, I know. But
yeah.
And Joss Whedon supposedly now is directing it,
which actually kind of makes me excited. Yeah, it makes me kind of excited. But that's why they're doing all these movies. So Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor, so they can make, those are the three main guys in the Avengers, so they can make the Avengers movie.
Okay.
And they don't have to do any backstory or anything like that.
Right.
So I'm nervous about Thor. I don't know. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Got some good names in it. So I think Natalie's in it.
Portman?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, which is good, though. This brings me to my next call it, when I'm curious to hear what you feel. I guess I'll direct it at Matt, but of course go around the room. So call it this summer. What's going to be the bigger sequel? Not better. And if you want to answer better, you can. But what movie is going to end up winning the box office sequel-wise?
Okay.
You got Iron Man.
Yep.
Sex and the City.
Yep.
Toy Story.
Yep.
Eclipse.
Yep.
Shrek.
Yep.
Or just for the hell of it, Predators.
And this is just the summer. Right?
I want to talk about what's the box office? Who's going to be the box office winner this summer out of those sequels?
Oh boy!
And I can repeat them at any point if you want me to.
Well, Sex and the City's out. It's not even going to be in the same league.
Mm-hmm. Same with Predators, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Predators is out.
I think Predators is going to do pretty well, but not come close to sniffing those.
No, not even close.
But you look at the cast of that movie. Yeah, I think it's.
How are you defining success? Just gross dollars,
I don't. I'm not worried about return.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to think about return. I'm just curious where the box office is going to have it.
Believe it or not, I'm probably going to say it's going to come down to the two big kid movies. I'm going to say it's going to be either Toy Story 3 or Shrek, and I'm going to say maybe Toy Story 3.
Not Eclipse or Iron Man, huh?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not. I think you know.
So your call is what? Because we're going to go back and look at this one.
I'm going to say Toy Story 3. Just because, if for the simple fact that, you know, a kid can watch a movie over and over again, so they may want to see it more than once. Mm-hmm. Toy Story 3 is not going to be like your Iron Man or Eclipse where the kids are going to get dropped off. The parents are going to have to buy the ticket too. So I think that all plays out. Yeah, I think it's going to be Toy Story 3.
All right. Espo, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Eclipse. Toy Story 3, I feel like that might be the best competition for it. But I think a lot of first of all, the first two Twilight movies did obviously very well.
Yeah.
There's built-in dedicated fans. Toy Story, there's been a big gap between the first two movies and this one, where I feel like kids might be interested in different things. You know, the kids that were interested in the first two. There's the Sex and the City thing. Yeah, that's not even going to be close.
Like, I wonder, too, if anybody's going to be able to identify with that. I can't believe women still identify with that, especially in this economic climate.
Yeah.
I mean, they're women just going to, what are they, they're going to the Middle East or something like that to have fun. And
I have no idea.
I have no grounding in reality.
the first one coming out in the movies was like, obviously women loved that show and they, you know, were sad when it went off the air.
It's like seeing the girls again.
They were happy to, this is so amazing. It's going to be on the big screen. I can't wait to go see exactly. Go see my friends, you know, Carrie and Charlotte, whatever their names are again.
Oh, you know all four of them.
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah, that's not going to be The second one, nobody's going to care as much as they did about the first one. Iron Man 2, I think, is going to do great. I think it's actually going to do better than the first Iron Man did.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But my money's still on Eclipse. There's built-in fans that have been, they love the books. They love the first two movies. They are waiting anxiously for the third movie to come out. And so that's my number one pick.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm with Matt. I think Toy Story 3 will win. I think there's a wide enough range. Yeah. I love the Toy Story movies.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any kids. I'm going to go see it.
Me too.
Eclipse has more of a built-in audience, but has a very focused audience. You're going to get girls. You're going to get some girls to bring their boyfriends and maybe some other middle-aged women as well. But you're not going to – I'm not going.
Yeah.
I'm actually, not. No. That's well, not
we are going. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no.
But well, I'm not.
The show aside, you're probably – like your girlfriend – could drag you to that movie.
Well, I don't have one, so that's not an issue, is it?
Well,
you could by June 30th.
By then, yeah, well, you know, I'm not gonna hold my breath. Yeah, there's a lot of single guys that wouldn't go to see that movie on their own.
No, I think that's a movie like Sex and the City where a guy can say, "Go see it with your friends."
Yeah.
And in fact, I think a girl would rather almost see it with her girlfriends than bring a guy. And either way, my point being that Toy Story 3 has the most mass appeal out of all of the films I mentioned.
Yeah.
It crosses all of the genders, all of the age groups, everything. I think Toy Story 3 will be the big winner this summer.
But I don't think...
Granted, it's been a long time since Toy Story 2 came out.
Yeah.
But
I mean, people have fond memories of that, and it's a kid. Yeah. They're gonna enjoy it.
And the kids are gonna like it. In Toy Story 3.
Is he?
I think he voices some character. Michael Keaton.
I think he voices Ken.
Is it?
The new trailers are out, and they have Ken. It looks hilarious. It looks really, really funny. I don't even think Eclipse is gonna be the second biggest sequel of the year. I think that's going to go to Harry Potter, which comes out in fall, which is what I was going to throw out
we
there.
Didn't even,
but I was
you're saying summer, right? So right. I think Harry Potter is going to be, I think probably maybe even the biggest. But
is this the last Harry Potter?
They split the last movie into two movies, or the last book into two movies.
So there's one after this.
Yeah, next year.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I think Iron Man's going to do some decent coin, too.
Oh, I think it will.
I don't think anything's going to touch my beloved Dark Knight's grosses, or Avatar, I guess you should say, at this point. But, I got to go Toy Story 3. All right, so I got one more question for you, ladies. It's a fun new thing, a fun little change to call it. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's a TFR lib, a Mad Lib, if you will, for the first run. You want me to finish this sentence for me?
All right.
Christopher Nolan's film Inception will be what? Just pick a word.
Out sometime this year?
Thanks.
Christopher Nolan.
Have you seen the trailers for Inception?
Mind-blowing, yes, I have. Yeah, I'm going to...
Chris, have you seen a trailer for Inception?
I haven't.
Okay, Matt, go ahead.
I'm going to say mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe mind-bending. Or maybe even indecipherable. Mm-hmm. I think you run the risk of all that. I mean, the trailers that I've seen, I don't know if they've come up with any new ones. There have been basically teasers where there's not really a whole lot to go off of.
Something I'm really impressed with is that they haven't let anything leak out about this movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is in this day and age with the internets and everything.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic that I know nothing about this movie.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see it because I like Christopher Nolan. I love Memento, and
it's got Leonardo DiCaprio in it as well.
It
right?
does,
yeah.
But Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it.
Oh, there you go.
You liked DiCaprio in Shutter Island.
I did like him in Shutter Island, but I'm very excited to see Inception because I have no idea what it's about.
Right. Well, I've already made up my own mind as to what this is, kind of in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a cross between Shutter Island and The Matrix meets Children of Men. You watch. That's what I'm thinking of as in my head.
I think that would be an awesome movie. It's something I want to see, especially if Christopher Nolan and his brother wrote and or directed it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. That'd I don't know. That's what I think. I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm going to watch it.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think you should definitely Google that trailer and check it out, even though the trailer really tells you nothing.
Yeah.
But it's it looks interesting.
You said that they haven't let anything slip about this movie. Not even my knowledge that it exists.
So. There you go. That's how good a job they've done.
That's probably not what they were going for, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's I guess.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Another rounding. It's like a Monty Python sketch, all of our segments. They kind of just peter out in the end with no real punchline or ending. Kind of like, all right, that's it. All right. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, and then we're going to wrap up the show.
Do our silly walk competition later.
Exactly.
Yes.
Wow. It's everything a girl dreams of. So what brings you to Bolivia?
Cruise ship.
We're a landlocked country.
It's an amazing cruise ship.
Where were we now?
Well, I think you're about to tell me how you enjoy following me.
I have a business proposition for you, Clay.
What happened to your accent?
Oops. I don't want to hurt you.
You're not going to. I'm listening.
I can help you find Max.
Hey, losers! It's time.
I'm driving.
Answer, we wired.
Target is westbound.
Hit it.
All right, so that was it for this edition of The First Run. Next week, we'll be going to see The Losers, yet another comic book movie. You're seeing a bit of a theme here.
Yeah, then Iron Man's coming out.
Yeah,
then...
so we apologize in advance, but we're kind of nerds. Then we're going to go. Then we're gonna watch the much-maligned Peter Jackson film, The Lovely Bones, and we'll give you an honest opinion. The only opinion that matters, really, whether it's worth watching or not. So, check us out on our website, www.thefirstrun.com, where we have a poll question about your favorite comic book movies. And Chris, can you refresh my memory? What is on that poll?
Sure. Well, with the arrival of Kick-Ass, the film we talked about today, we're asking you what the best superhero movie is. And your options are The Dark Knight, Spider-Man 2, X-Men 2, Iron Man, Superman 2, or Other. And of course, as always, if you have an Other... we'd love to hear what it is.
Right. And you can let us know what that is by emailing us at thefirstrun@gmail.com. Or you can post us a little note. Is that what they call it on our wall on the Facebook?
Sure.
Yeah. We have a Facebook, I'm remiss to say it's a business page because we're not actually making any money, but we do have a page out there on Facebook, The First Run. And we also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes because we're legit.
That's right.
Too legit to quit.
Go big or go
home. I just did the hand gestures too. So.
Oh, good lord. That explains why you're wearing the parachute pants today.
They're Zubaz, okay? So that's it. I'm Matt. With me as always, Chris and Chris.
Hi.
Guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.